There's a worldwide epidemic of obesity, type 2 diabetes, and other chronic diseases that can be helped, sometimes even reversed, by simple diet and lifestyle changes rather than using medications. Hello, I'm Dr. John Beeney, and in these podcasts, you will hear information to help you make informed choices so you can live younger, longer. Today I'm talking about carbs, carbohydrates. Beryl Orr's is saying to me, before I give a talk, you've got to make it clear what you mean by carbs. Sugar and carbs are known as macronutrients. They're along with the proteins and the fats, the carbs are one of the three major food groups. And I want to emphasize that carbs, sugar, are perfectly natural. They're found everywhere in nature, and there's nothing fundamentally wrong with carbs except that we have, in the last century or two, dramatically increased our intake of sugar and carbohydrates. And this has led to many of the diseases that we're suffering from these days. You see, too much sugar in our food and too much starch in our food. Sugar and starch convert to glucose in the bowel, and that is rapidly absorbed into the bloodstream in the form of sugar, simple sugars. Too much glucose, sugar, in our bloodstream produces too much insulin. And the combination of too much sugar and too much insulin leads to a condition called the metabolic syndrome. We become intolerant of sugar and we become resistant to insulin. And this leads to, well, the majority of the conditions that really trouble us these days, including obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, heart attacks and strokes, arthritis, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is a major cause of infertility, and at the other end of our lives, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, and cancer. So let's try and nail today what is meant by carbohydrates and sugar. The obvious one, of course, is table sugar. And although you don't quite see that around so much these days, do you? People have really woken up to the fact that table sugar is not the best. Unfortunately, other forms of sugar like honey, maple syrup, are almost as bad. But the major problem is sugar hidden in manufactured food. Number one, I suppose, apart from sugar, would be the grains and the cereals. Now, these have been brought to light, I guess, made much more popular, if you like, because of the rise of celiac disease and non-celiac wheat intolerance and so on. So you're seeing a lot of food around called gluten-free. But I'm not getting into gluten today. I really don't want to talk about it. As far as the wheat's concerned, though, and the grains, we've got the traditional wheats, once again, getting very popular. Einkorn, farro, emmer, spelt, kamut. They're all traditional grains, but out there's far more of the modern grains, and that's, you'll see that in the form of bread, including toast. I once had a gentleman ask me, when I was trying to explain all this, he's put his hand up and he said, does that include toast? Well, sadly, yes. Toast is basically dehydrated bread, and it contains exactly the same amount of carbohydrate. But also things made of wheat, like pasta, noodles, semolina, couscous. These are all forms of grain, and they're all full of carbohydrates and sugar. There are other forms of cereals, a bit less common, but becoming a lot more popular, some of which, because they don't contain gluten, things like corn, which is another name for maize, quinoa, oats, barley, buckwheat, which isn't wheat at all, rye. They're all forms of carbohydrate. And contain lots of carbohydrate and break down into sugar. And they're absorbed into the bloodstream, just as sugar. Rice and things made with rice, things like noodles, rice biscuits, rice crackers, they all contain carbohydrate. When it comes to vegetables, the above ground sort of leafy vegetables, they contain quite a bit of carbohydrate, but relatively little. And some of it is in the form of fibre, which is not readily absorbed and certainly isn't absorbed as sugar. You can sort of deduct that from the totals, if you like, but we'll talk about that another day. But root vegetables are full of sugar. So the potatoes, the carrots, the beetroot, sweet potatoes, all those sort of plants, you know, that's where the plant sort of stores sugar for next year. So it can grow again in poor soil next year. And they're full of sugar. Then, of course, we come to fruit. Now, once again, there's nothing wrong with fruit. Fruit is great. Obviously, it tastes lovely. We know that. The problem is that we're eating far too much of it, and we should be eating it in season. As somebody once said to me, pineapples are never in season in Tasmania, but nevertheless, you can eat pineapple every day of the year in Tasmania with no difficulty at all. But fruit is where the next generation of plants and trees come from, and whether it's apples and oranges and bananas, obvious things like that, and then also tomatoes, sweet corn. Is sweet corn a fruit or a grain or a vegetable? Well, doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, whatever form it is or whatever it is, sweet corn contains a lot of sugar. Another interesting part in the producing the next generation of plants and trees are the legumes. Much loved to vegans because they contain a valuable source of protein as well as the sugar. So peas, beans, chickpeas, lentils, soybeans, peanuts. These are all legumes and contain a lot of sugar. Then we come to manufactured food. And it's really not time to go into this except to say that most, probably 80% of manufactured food has some form of sugar added to it. In fact, there are smoothies available out there that contain more sugar than Coca-Cola. You know, some smoothies contain about 22 teaspoons of sugar in one serve. That's a lot. So, basic advice, avoid manufactured food. Avoid food with a label. And if you have to have food with a label, check the carbs on the label, carbohydrates on the label. Then the right-hand column on the back, it tells you how many grams of carbs there are in 100 grams of the product. Now, and that's probably at the moment the best guide. Efforts are being made to improve visibility of the amount of sugar in the food by labelling, but it's being resisted by the business sector. But clearly, if you're going to have, there's a fair bit of sugar in minced garlic, but you're not going to eat much, are you? So if you're only having half a teaspoon of garlic, that isn't very much sugar. But you could, if you decided to have barbecue sauce, then it's going to have, it's very easy to have 50 mils of barbecue sauce or more. Now, because dairy is refrigerated, fairly natural, but it is manufactured and it does have a label on it, mainly because it has to be kept refrigerated. But be aware that milk contains lactose, and lactose is sugar. Check it out. Just to summarise, if you have a cup of tea, Toby's oats, milk, honey, toast and marmalade for breakfast, that easily adds up to about 17 teaspoons of sugar. If you have a ham and salad sandwich for lunch, it's going to be at least 6 teaspoons of sugar. At home, before dinner, you have a good handful of honey-roasted cashews, and that could easily be 10 teaspoons of sugar. Dinner, sausages and mashed potatoes, corn, peas and gravy, could be 15 teaspoons of sugar. Strawberries and ice cream, 6 teaspoons. Hot chocolate and milk, 5 teaspoons of sugar. You can see how it's very easy to end up with, well, what could sometimes be 50 to 70 teaspoons of sugar in a day. In fact, the Heart Foundation and Diabetes Australia actually recommend that you can have up to 60% of your daily food intake in the form of sugar. Now, it's 12 on a 2,000 calorie a day diet, that's over 1,200 calories, and that works out at about 70 teaspoons of sugar. And that's why there's an epidemic of nutritional diseases. I'll see you again soon.